Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our services this morning. This time we're going to be blessed with special music from Elizabeth.
Thank you.
For scripture this morning, I will be reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. May God bless the reading of his word. This time I'll turn it over to Pastor Gowan.
I say God is good, and you say all the time. Are we ready for this? Let's do it. God is good, and all the time. If you just look around, you see his goodness in so many ways. In the creation that he brings, in family and friends. We were blessed yesterday to celebrate our son Logan's graduation from high school, and we have some family with us this morning, so we are blessed in so many ways. Amen? This morning, I want us to think about our vision. We've been thinking about it for several sermons, and I want us to think about today what God is calling us to do and to be here at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church. What is our vision? And I want us to think about it as we look about some slides up here. We are called as a church. Can everybody hear that sound? It means we're getting ready for something. And I want the slide that says that we are called as a church to love better. Do you have it this morning? That slide that says love better. Because we are called in this church to love better. And to love better means, while we're waiting, that God calls us to love the people around us with his love. We're called to show that love, to love better, so that people see the love of God in us. And we share that love of God with the people in this world. We're to show not just the world's love, we're called to show God's love. We are called first to love better as a church. At Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church. We're also called to teach the truth. And what that means is that we have the Word of God as our foundation, and we as a church share that truth with the people in this community. And we're to be built on the foundation of God's authoritative, infallible Word. And finally, we are called as a church to develop disciples. We're to make followers of Jesus and share Jesus in the world around us and lead people, help people to know Jesus as their Savior. And so I want us to focus, as we have been continuing to do, on what it means to develop disciples. What does it mean to take Jesus out into the world? One of my favorite memories of kindergarten is something called show and tell. Would you raise your hand if you remember show and tell? It was one of my favorite memories of kindergarten, and I loved it because the kids would bring cool things like pet goldfish or stuffed animals. Sometimes they would even bring their baby brother or sister to show and tell. Do you remember show and tell? I loved it. And I love show and tell so much because I would always be the kid who was thinking about what I would bring next. And I would be thinking about that all through the year because sometimes we didn't know when show and tell would be. The teacher would tell us, so we had to be ready. So I had to be ready to share when it was my turn. I had to know what I was bringing because I wanted to be ready, because I was excited, because I wanted to share something wonderful for show and tell. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to develop disciples, if we are going to make followers of Jesus Christ, it is important that we be ready to share Jesus with the people around us. And see, we have something wonderful in Jesus. We have this hope of Jesus Christ that we can share. Because Jesus, He died for our sins on a cross. And we can share with people that if they receive Jesus as their Savior, they will have a relationship with God both now and also in eternity. And that is the wonderful hope that we have to share, this hope of Jesus. And we can share this hope of Jesus with the world. It's the greatest thing for us to show and tell. Amen? This hope of Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, here's what the Apostle Peter says. He says, always be ready to give the reason for the hope that we have in Christ. Always be ready to give the reason for the hope we have in Christ. And here's how we do this. We live out our faith in front of people, and we prepare ourselves to share the good news of Jesus, to share the hope that we have, to share what Jesus did for us. We prepare ourselves for it as we live out our lives for Christ in the world. And so here's what happens. People see the way that we live, and they want to know more about this Jesus. And then when they want to know more, we can share what Jesus means to us. So people see the way that we live, and our living can draw people to want to know more. So when we're at work and we don't get drunk at the office party like everybody else around us, and people see the way that we live, someone might ask us why. Why aren't you getting drunk at the office party? Why aren't you saying mean words about your coworkers like everyone else? Some person may ask us why we live the way we do. When we're at school and we don't cheat on the test and everybody else is cheating on the test, someone may ask us, why don't you cheat like everyone else? And then when someone asks us, why do we live the way that we live, we can share what Jesus means to us. We can share the hope of Jesus with our words. When they see our living, they may want to know more, and then that will give us an opportunity to share Jesus with our words. What I want us to think about this morning is some non-examples about how we're not called to share Jesus. And you're invited to write these down in your bulletin. There's an outline if you want to follow it this morning. But there are some ways. First of all, I want us to see how we're not called to share Jesus. And the first way that we're not called to share Jesus, do you have this slide? Is by pushing Jesus onto people. So we're not called to share Jesus, and the word there, and we can have it if we put it on the screen if you've got it. If not, that's fine. We're called not to share Jesus by pushing Jesus onto people. Have you ever been called by a telemarketer? Has someone ever called you on the phone and said, "Are you happy with your car insurance?" Have you ever had that experience? Are you happy with your internet service? And you say to the person, "Yes, I'm happy with my car insurance. I love my internet service." And the person on the other end of the telephone says, "Well, let me sell you something. I want to sell you some internet service." And the person doesn't respect you. They keep pushing you. Have you ever had a telemarketer push you? And what happens is you become frustrated. You become frustrated and you want to hang up on this telemarketer. They're just doing their job. But they won't listen to you. Because they want to sell you something. They want to make a sale, and you can become, and we usually become frustrated, and we want to hang up. We're not called to share Jesus by pushing Jesus onto people. And when we push Jesus onto a person, we can cause that person to become frustrated. We can cause that person to become resistant to Jesus. They don't want anything to do with this Jesus because we just want to push and shove and coerce. And we want to force Jesus onto someone because we know this person needs Jesus. So we want to push. Brothers and sisters, we're not called to share Jesus by pushing Jesus onto people. And we're also not called to share Jesus by debating Jesus with people. That's the second word, debating. Because we're not called when we share Jesus to debate. Now I remember in high school speech class, the teacher would give two people a debate topic. Remember this? And those two people would debate different sides of the same issue. And I'll never forget it. There were winners and there were losers. There were people who felt superior because they won the debate. There were people who felt awful because they lost the debate. And the goal of the debate was to win your side no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost, the teacher said, do everything you can to win the debate. It didn't matter if you hurt the feelings of the person you were debating. Because listen to me, feelings can be hurt in a debate. I have seen it. I have seen people debate. And I've seen people debate issues from the Bible, and they have done damage because they care more about winning the issue than they do the person. And they're not acting very Christian-like in the way that they talk. You see, we're not called to share Jesus by debating Jesus with people. We're not called to debate a side when we share Jesus. We're not called to share Jesus by pushing Jesus onto people. We're not called to share Jesus by debating Jesus with people. But here's what it says in 1 Peter 3:15. Peter says, here's how we are to share Jesus. Here it is. Under the direction of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter tells us how to share Jesus. And first he says, we are called to share Jesus, and I don't know if we have this, but the word is with gentleness. We're called to share Jesus with gentleness. Not pushing Jesus onto someone. not debating Jesus, trying to win a side, but gently sharing the reason for our hope in Jesus. The Bible says, Peter says, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, that we're to share Jesus gently. I'll never forget when I was 14 years old, I received Jesus as my Savior. And I've shared this story before, that I remember sitting in church and receiving Christ as my Savior, and I remember feeling such hope. Hope that I had in Christ, that I knew that someday, because of my decision, I would be with Christ forever in eternity. Hope that my sins had all been taken away. And I will never forget, I went to school and I shared that hope with my math teacher. We'd get in trouble today for doing this, but I went to school and I told my algebra teacher, my ninth grade algebra teacher, I said, I received Jesus yesterday in church as my Savior. And I'll never forget talking to some of the students in the school and telling them of my decision to follow Jesus. And I remember when I shared it, I was excited because of what Christ had done in my life. And I didn't push the students or the teacher. I didn't debate a topic. I simply shared gently what Christ had done for me. I simply shared gently the decision that I had made and what Christ had done in my heart and my life. You see, 1 Peter 3:15 says, when we share Jesus, we are called to do it gently. To share that Jesus has given to us, we're to share that hope of Jesus with the world. But we're to do it gently. In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter also says, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, that we're also called to share Jesus, and the word here is with respect. So we're called to share Jesus with gentleness, but we're also called to share Jesus with respect. If a person says to us, you know, I don't want to hear any more about this Jesus. And I have had people say that to me, Pastor, I don't want to hear any more about this Jesus. Pastor, if you're going to talk about Jesus, I'm leaving. Because I don't want to hear any more about Jesus. What in the world do we do in that situation? Here's what Peter says. Peter says to share that story with respect. And God wants us to respect that person and back off. Instead of continuing to push Jesus, to shove Jesus on a person, if a person says to me, Pastor, I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want any more of this Jesus. Then God calls us to respect that person and back off. And not continue to push or to talk about Jesus at that moment. And here's what we can do. If a person says, back off to us, don't talk about Jesus, we can keep on showing Jesus with our actions and with our living. And we can keep showing God's love to that person. And we can keep living the way God wants us to live around that person. And then we can wait for an opportunity to share Jesus with our words at another time. And that's how we share Jesus with respect. By backing off for the moment with our words and instead showing Jesus with our actions by loving that person and showing love to that person and showing Jesus with our actions. And then we can wait for that opportunity to share Jesus with our words at another time. You see, 1 Peter 3:15, Peter tells us that we are to share Jesus with gentleness And we're also to share Jesus with respect. As I thought about us as God's people sharing Jesus when we have an opportunity with our words, an image came to my mind, and we may have this. Do we have somebody planting a seed? Can we show that? I love that image. That image of planting the seed. Because that's what we're called to do, brothers and sisters, as followers of Jesus. We are called to plant seeds of Jesus in this world, in the lives of people, as we talk about Jesus with our words, as we share the hope of Jesus with people. We're to plant the seeds of Jesus in the lives of the people around us. But Peter says, do it gently, not coercing, not forcing, not pushing and shoving, but do it gently and respectfully. And as we share Jesus and we plant that seed, we leave the growth and the outcome to the Holy Spirit. You see, when you plant a seed, you're not responsible for the growth of that seed. You're responsible for the conditions of growth. But the growth of a seed comes from God. And when we plant the seed in the life of someone else, when we share Jesus with our words, we're not the ones responsible for the outcome. You see, the Holy Spirit is responsible for the growth and for the outcome of that seed that is planted. It's our job to simply plant the seeds. The Holy Spirit does the rest. It's not our job to force, to coerce. It's our job to plant gently and respectfully. Because here's what happens. If we are to plant seeds, physical seeds, if we do this forcefully, if we try to shove those seeds into the ground and there's no hole, and we just shove and push, we will destroy those seeds. So it's important for us when we share Jesus to do it carefully. Just like we would plant a seed carefully into the ground after there's a hole and we plant those seeds, we do that planting of physical seeds carefully. We're there, Jesus, carefully. Not pushing, not shoving, coercing, but sharing Jesus gently and respectfully is what God calls us to do. When I was a little boy, my parents worked a garden. They had a plot of land, not at our house, but it was out in the community. And I'll never forget one time they told me, they said, would you like to help us in the garden? That was a big deal because I had to be careful when I was out in the garden. I had to focus on work and what my parents asked me to do. And I'll never forget one time they asked me if I would like to help them plant the seeds. And so here's what I did. I put a bunch of those little seeds in my pocket. I'm not sure if we were planting corn or beans, but I know I had the seeds. And I know that I was ready to go as soon as they told me what to do. And here's what they said to do. They said, we want you to go row to row. And whenever you see a hole, we want you to put those little seeds right down there in those holes. And so I was so excited. I had those seeds in my pocket. And I remember going down row to row, looking for the holes, looking for those places where I could plant those seeds. Brothers and sisters, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, you have seeds in your pocket. Now, they're not physical seeds. You have the seeds of hope of Jesus Christ. You have the seeds of hope that says that if a person receives Christ as their Savior, that one day they'll be with Jesus in eternity. That's the seeds that we have. That we can tell someone that if they receive Jesus, their sins are forgiven and they have a clean slate. And they're a new creature in Christ. That's the kind of seeds we have in our pockets. That's the seed of Jesus. And God calls us to look for opportunities at Walmart, at McDonald's. God calls us to look for opportunities at church. Because there may be people around us who see the way that we live and they want to know more about this Jesus, and we have an opportunity to plant a seed. Because they may look at us and say, why are you different from everyone else? Why do you tell the truth when everyone lies? And we have an opportunity then to plant that seed, to share the hope that we have in Jesus by simply sharing our story of what Jesus did for us. We can share the story of what Jesus means to us. And we can have in our pocket some scripture of what Christ did on the cross and the hope that we have in Jesus. And we can share our hope and plant a seed. But when we plant those seeds, God calls us to use our words carefully and to plant those seeds with gentleness and respect. And then as we plant those seeds, as we share Jesus, let's allow the Holy Spirit to do His work. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to bring the conviction. Instead of us pushing and forcing, let's allow the Holy Spirit to work in a person's heart. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to work wherever those seeds are planted. And let's leave the outcome to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we are called as God's people to plant seeds. You say, Pastor, I've not been a Christian long. You're still called to plant seeds. You say, Pastor, I've been a Christian for a number of years. We're still called to plant seeds. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you are called to share Jesus with your words. Someone might say, Pastor, that's your job. You're the preacher. And that is true. I am called to preach Jesus from this pulpit. But all of us are called to share Jesus with our words, whether we're a pastor or not. Amen? Amen. When you leave today, the ushers are going to give you something. I don't care what door you go out, because there's going to be an usher that will meet you as you leave. And the usher is going to give you, each and every one of you, a seed. Okay, they're lima beans. But every person in this room gets a seed when you leave today. And what I want you to do, and yes, you can go home and plant your lima bean, but I would like you to use this seed that's in a little baggie as a reminder. And you can put that little seed right next to your bed on your nightstand. You can put that little seed on the refrigerator with a magnet. You can put that little seed somewhere you will see it. Because it is a reminder to all of us that God calls us to plant the seeds of Jesus Christ wherever we go. It's a reminder to us that somebody could ask you when you leave this place today. Someone could ask you as you go to the store or wherever you go. They could ask you about Jesus. And it's a reminder to you that you don't have to have fancy words. You simply share what Jesus has done for you. And you, when you do that, you will plant a seed for Jesus. So when you leave today, make sure you pick up a seed on your way out. Brothers and sisters, God has called us to plant seeds of Jesus wherever we go. Let's always be ready to share Jesus. And all of God's people together said,